May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 723. 723. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723. We shall read from God's holy word, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, do help us now as we gather to worship thee. We pray that we may be under the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, and that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. And O Lord, as we venture to the throne of thy grace, we would come pleading thy precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the dear Lord Jesus, and seeking for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. But, O Lord, we come before thee exactly as we are. One said, nothing but sin I thee can give. But, O, may we have that faith to believe that nothing but love shall I receive. And oh, we would come humbly confessing our many, many sins. Lord, we much to mourn over and grieve over the sins of our hearts, the sins of our thoughts, the sins of our lives, of our conversation, the sins of our most holy things. We would pray with the hymn writer, dear Lord, do take away the love of sin, Alpha and Omega be. Oh, may we be as real penitent sinners at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. One said, mercy through blood I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, thou would have mercy upon us. Thou wilt blot out our many sins and transgressions. Thou wilt wash us and make us clean every whit. Oh, that we may be plunged in that crimson ocean that's for sin and for uncleanness. Wash away all the guilt and sin of our hearts and lives, Lord. We pray thou wilt sweetly assure our souls that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine, and that thou art ours. And as we gather this evening, dear Lord, we pray for a sweet and sacred sense of thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and too within these walls. That we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come as those Greeks of old did, desiring to see precious Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. And oh, may that be the inmost longing, Lord, and desire of each of our hearts, that we may be favoured like dear John of old when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." May we have a glimpse, Lord, by living faith of the dear Lord Jesus. Behold him as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, do seal pardon and peace to each seeking, longing soul, dear Lord. And sweetly assure us each that thou hast loved us with that everlasting love, and with loving kindness thou hast drawn us. We pray that thou wilt meet the cases of thy dear people this evening, for thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. We pray for the quickening of thy spirit to go forth. Thou wilt quicken souls and make them cry, "Jesus, save me, or I die." May there be those yet, Lord, born again, and whose blind eyes are now open, deaf ears unstopped, many brought to seek thy face. Lord, the power's thine. We beg of thee to set at liberty those who are in bondage. Oh, that thou would say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. Oh, may there be many loose, Lord, in this dark and solemn day in which our lot is cast, set free. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are you free indeed. And O Lord, we would pray for those that have heavy trials and burdens to walk through, that thou wilt give them all needed grace, Lord, and that faith to believe thou wilt bring them out into a wealthy place, that they may praise and bless thy holy name. Remember those in affliction's pathway, Lord. We pray especially for dear David in the nursing home, and that thou wilt make his bed in that affliction that's upon him. And oh, do reveal thyself to him as his Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. Sweetly assure him, Lord, that the eternal God is his refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And others, Lord, laid aside, we thank thee for bringing Philip safely through his operation and Victoria too. And others, Lord, that have many afflictions upon them, we pray for that healing and restoring, and the dear children laid aside too. May they have that healing granted, if it be thy holy will. May each one prove, Lord, is he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. We thank thee, dear Lord, for those thou hast restored thus far. And we beg thou wilt go on to be gracious, to comfort those that are bereaved, Lord. Many have been taken in these last few months. And, O Lord, we pray that the death of one and another may be the means of quickening many into life, that there may be yet many born of the Spirit and desire real heavenly food. But Lord, do come and prepare us each for that great day of death that awaits us each, and prepare us for the a vast eternity before us. Oh Lord, how often we have to say with the hymn writer, how stands the case, my soul with thee. Thy heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, we pray, dear Lord, to be ready. Thou hast said, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Oh, that we may be eternally shut in with thee, if it would please thee. And oh, save us from being shut out eternally. We know that's all we deserve, Lord, because of all our sin. But oh, we thank thee for thy precious blood, that cleanseth the blackest, vilest of sinners, of all sin. We do seek earnestly, Lord, thou wilt remember the dear children and bless them. And those not well, do heal them if it would please thee. And do work in them, and bore their ears to the doorpost of thy house, that they may follow on to know the Lord and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the Sabbath school and all the teachers that lovingly labour in it, that thou wilt richly reward their labours. And may there be many brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. We pray for the dear young people, that thou wilt preserve and keep them, and cause them to seek thee in all matters. For thou hast said, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. and may it please thee to appear for those, Lord, that have impossible things, and those that in the middle age with all the burdens and trials and difficulties they have to wade through, that thou wilt give them that upholding grace and strength to venture on through them all. And may they see the wonders thou alone canst do. We pray for our dear aged friends that thou wilt be with them. Lord, may they prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. Do come and calm their troubled minds and hearts and sweetly assure them that thou art their God, their Saviour, their Redeemer, and that it is well with their souls, and may it be so with each of us, Lord, while life endures. Well, when called to die. Do bless this corner of thy vineyard. We pray for the outpouring of thy spirit here and in our own flock at home and throughout Zion, dear Lord. Oh, may that please thee once more to smile upon them and bless thy dear people and fill them with thy love that they might run in thy delightful way. For, O Lord, we have read what thou didst say, if ye love me, keep my commandments. May there be yet a moving of the waters, Lord, and those brought to say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Lord, may there be that real travail in the churches, that Zion may yet bring forth her offspring. We pray for thy servants, thou would anoint them and help them to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And may they have many souls to their hire, seals to their ministry. And may, Lord, the word preached be life and power to thy dear people, and be a living word in the souls of thy people. And Lord, thou canst do it. We pray for thy appearing in this guilty nation, that thou wilt yet come, Lord, and turn our leaders and rulers and our king and the royal household, and just seeking their own pleasure and the things that delight their carnal minds, but to seek thee first. For thou hast said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, may there be from our king downwards, dear Lord, a real turning to the Lord, a forsaking of all evil. And may this nation once again be a land that fears thy holy name. Oh, do hear the sighs and cries and groans of thy people, we do beseech thee, and send down those answers of peace. Preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution, thy holy word and holy day, the privileges we are so favoured with. Lord, do appear in those war-torn lands abroad and in Ukraine and in the Middle East, and where the turmoils of Syria and other places, Lord, we beg of thee to appear. And may all the enemies of thee and of thy people and of thy truth be put down, and may righteousness rule in those lands and rule in this land. And we would pray earnestly for the deacons here, that thou would help them, Lord, and give them all needed wisdom in all the affairs of the church and congregation. and may it please thee to bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And, O Lord, we would praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Do help us to give thee all the honour, all the glory, all the praise. For, Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercy or of thy truth. Now, O Lord, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, grant a true spirit of hearing. Empty, send us not away. We ask thee to forgive what we've uttered amiss, all our many sins, that thou wilt make up where we so fail. We would ask it in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 737, 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14 and verse 26. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. These precious words, beloved friends, were uttered by the dear Saviour himself. And never man spake like this man. And how vital the words were to these troubled disciples. There were many things that perplexed them and troubled them because he had said to them he was going to leave them. They were and had been favoured with much of his sweet and sacred presence, but now they got to walk a path alone. And you know, it's very troublesome to a real exercised child of God when they feel the Lord has forsaken them for a season. It really casts the sinner down. And there are many things that were casting them down here, and the thought of walking this pathway the Lord had appointed for them alone. But he gives them this wonderful promise. And as help this evening, I just want to briefly set it before you. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What a wonderful thing it is to have a divine Comforter. You see, the Lord Jesus had comforted them in many times when they were troubled prior to this. But now he was going to leave them for a season. And there may be those of you this evening that have been favoured with those times of sweet comfort given by the Saviour, where he's come and comforted you. But then you walk in this path of trouble. Whatever it may be with them, it was him leaving them. There were times when you will have to walk in times of trouble in your soul because of sin and with the hidings of the Lord's face. And times of trouble in circumstances or in the family or in the church. And you feel to be walking alone. But, he says, there is a blessed Comforter that he was to leave with them. And that is the blessed Holy Ghost. the Divine Comforter. And it is He that conveys the comfort down from heaven to every one of the Lord's dear people. It's one of the blessed offices of the Holy Ghost, you know, to convey that comfort down. And we have those sweet promises in this chapter and in the following chapter 2 and in chapter 16 as well, where He promised to comfort them. He says in our text, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And we have that beautiful promise too, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to some troubled soul this evening. In verse 18 He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The margin tells us, or orphans, I will come to you. It's a beautiful word. I think of a dear lady that I've known for many years. She was in much distress of soul, doing her ironing one day and wondering whether she was right in anything, and felt so sorrowful and full of distress, pleading with the Lord to appear. And He whispered this from heaven to her, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And it turned all the darkness and distress and sorrow she was in into joy. And you see, the Lord can do it in a moment. There may be those of you that need comfort this evening, why the Lord's given me this text. He knows exactly those that need that comfort. You think of, and we've seen, I've stood at and committed to the earth 3 in the last 4 weeks. And the sorrows of those that are bereaved have been great. But, you know, they have a heavenly comforter. It's right we should comfort each other in times of sorrow and all we can to comfort those that sorrow. But you know, when you're in sorrow in your soul, no man can see it. It may reflect in your countenance, or it may reflect a little in your life, but outwardly it cannot be seen like sorrows, like of death of one, a loved one, or some difficult path you're walking in, but you see that is seen. But when it's inside, in the heart of the child of God, it cannot be seen, the full extent of it, by man, but the Lord sees it. And He saw how distressed and sorrowful these dear disciples were, and here He seeks to comfort them. Though they were going to have to walk alone, they were not going to be alone, because there was a blessed Comforter to them. That was the Holy Ghost. And that comfort of heaven was to be conveyed right into their souls. You see, He says in the following chapter, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And when the Holy Spirit reveals a precious Jesus to you as your divine comforter, it'll take away that sorrow in a moment. It may still be there, the distress, but he can take the sorrow away in a moment. Like he said, didn't he, in John 16, it's a very precious word, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to us here this evening. He says to them, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow. Why? Because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Why? For joy that a man is born into the world. And then he crowns it with this beautiful word, doesn't he? Ye now therefore have sorrow. They were in it. It was fact. They were in that sorrow. But I will see you again. I don't know what your sorrow may be this evening, poor soul. But if the Lord whisper this to you, but I will see you again, he can turn that sorrow in a moment to joy. I will see you again. And he says, in your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you, but the Comforter. And you know there's no comforter like the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Because it's he, as I've indicated, that conveys it right into the sinner's heart. Oh yes. And you know, the Lord has various means in comforting his dear disciples that he did. And he does with his dear people in 2024. He may comfort you with just one line of the hymn. When I sat in the vestry, as I sat down this evening, this line of the hymn, I didn't know what hymn it was in, but it dropped in very sweetly. Breathe comfort where distress abounds. And when the Lord breathes that comfort in, he can remove the distress in a moment. Oh, he can. It may be you're so distressed because of your sin. But when he is pleased to breathe that comfort into your soul, all that sin that troubles you can be removed in a moment. He may comfort you by speaking a word, you see, of comfort to you, such as I've said, as a line of a hymn, or it may be a precious word from God's holy word, or it may be through the ministry. How many of God's dear children over the generations have come into the house of God full of sorrow, and the Lord has used either the hymns or the reading of God's word, or it may be something was said in prayer or through the ministry, and they've gone out like a bird let out of a cage, free from all the sorrow and distress. You think of dear Mary Magdalene. I love that dear woman, you know. She had a wonderful case, hers was. You think of the weeping there was in her heart as she goes to the sepulchre full of tears. And what does the say? What did the angels first say to her? Woman, why weepest thou? She was a weeping woman. There may be those of you this evening who got those things that are making you weep. And it is this weeping soul that needs comfort. She did. She needed it, didn't she? And then the tomb was emptied. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. All the distress in her. But what did the dear Redeemer? She didn't know it was he. She supposed him to be the gardener. He speaks to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" But he went further than the angels, didn't he? "Whom seekest thou?" She was not only a weeper, but she was a real seeker. She wanted to find the dear Redeemer. And as I've said many times before, it only needed one word from the lips of the Saviour to remove all that sorrow, and divine comfort flowed into her soul. What did he say to her? "Mary." Immediately she knew him. He revealed himself to her. That comfort flowed into her, and no man could take it away. It's like we just named, didn't we, in that 16th chapter. "And your joy no man taketh from you." And they couldn't take it from her, could they? And look how it enlivened her faith and removed all the unbelief there was in her. She wanted to embrace him. Such was her love to him. He says, "Touch me not." And then he speaks that beautiful word to her, "For I'm not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." Claiming her, you see, as his. What a take away your sorrow this evening and comfort your poor heart if the Lord came and claimed you. There's a good verse in that hymn, isn't it? "Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee." But the comforter. Well, my great concern is that the Lord would convey this sweet comfort down into each of our souls. You can be in the depths of trouble, the depths of sorrow, the depths of distress, but if he breathes it in and the Holy Spirit seals it into your poor soul, the circumstance may be all the same, but inwardly, the joy is most blessed. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice the wording of it. "In my name," Jesus says. He was to be exhorted. He was in the heart of Mary. He will in your poor heart and mine. Christ exhorted you, sir, whom the Father will send in my name, that a precious Jesus might be glorified in our souls, in our lives, in our pathways. You will find so often the sweet record in the reading you read through the Word of God is all in him. You read that beautiful hymn where it speaks, "In him a full, rich fullness dwells." It all flows through a precious Jesus. And that divine comfort flows from him. We've been singing, haven't we? And we sung it the other week at Mr. Paul Mulvey's funeral. He chose that hymn, what we just sung. Give me Christ, or else I die. I remember visiting him in the depths of his affliction. He said, that is my cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. And you know, when the Lord is pleased to fulfill that, you can lay down and die. If you've got Christ, you've got everything, poor soul. Think of what the Apostle Paul said. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He got nothing else to live for, had he? And for him to die would be eternal gain. So he says here, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. Look at the willingness of God the Father. He says Jesus utters it. Whom the Father will send. In my name. And then those divine things that follow. He shall teach you all things. Everything you need to know in your poor soul. What does the hymn writer say? I determine naught to know but a bleeding Jesus. He'll teach you that he's the one thing that's needful. You know, we're often concerned about this and about that in our lives and our pathways and so on, aren't we? But you know, really, let's bring it home to reality. There's one thing that's needful, and that's a precious Jesus to a poor, needy sinner that's burdened by sin, and by sin and Satan oppressed. He's the one thing that's needful. Jesus made it so clear to Martha, didn't he? We're often like her. I have no stones to cast at Martha in any way. I'm often careful and troubled about many things I say to my shame. But one thing, he says to dear Martha, is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing. You know, when the hour of death comes within, it will come with each of us. Sin will lay us all in the grave. One thing is needful, and that's a precious Jesus as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. And the Lord will teach you that. He's the one thing that's needful. The flesh won't like it. He thinks this is needful and that's needful. But he shall teach you all things. And now let us look at this teaching. It's not the teaching of man. There's no teacher like the Holy Ghost. The old preachers used to say, if we haven't got a Holy Ghost religion, we'll never get to heaven. And that is blessedly true, solemnly true. What will he teach you? Well, he'll teach you first your vileness, your sinfulness, your wretchedness, your poverty. You think of dear Job. I often think of that dear man, you know, in several ways, but you think about when he said, and the apostle did too, he knew it well, Paul. But what did Job say? Behold, I am vile. And who taught him that? no-minded. His friends didn't teach him. It was the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, taught him the vileness of his heart. And he taught him too the great need of mercy. And he taught him too where to look. Heavenward. There was only one way he could look. You know, we need to be taught that continually, don't we? And the Lord will bring you into places, maybe in your soul, or in, it may be in the path of affliction, or it may be in the path of bereavement and sorrow. The only place you can look, and the Holy Spirit will teach you, is to the dear Lord Jesus. And that's why so many places, through God's holy word, the Lord wonderfully sets it forth. Look unto me. I think of that beautiful word in Isaiah. Look unto me, he says. Don't look anywhere else. Where are you looking tonight? And where am I? And be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. When the apostle felt, as he was taught, his wretchedness, where could he look? He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Where did the Lord bring him? To look wholly to a precious Jesus in whom all his hope for heaven depended. And well could he write to the Hebrews, couldn't he? And say to them, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How? Looking unto Jesus. Is he teaching you that? The Lord, you know, brought Jonah to that place, didn't he, in the fish's belly. But you look how low he had to come to look. We know, because of his disobedience and disobeying the command of God of going to Nineveh and preach repentance to the city, he tried to get out of it. You know how old nature tries to get out of many things, if we're honest. But you see, where did it bring him? He brought him right into the depths of the sea. And in that depths of the sea, the Holy Spirit was teaching him what a wretched character he was, how disobedient he was. And we taught him too where to look. And what does he say? "Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." He looked there before, but now he got to look again. It may be in a matter that concerns you this evening and causes you much sorrow. And you've had to look to the Lord many times before, but the message may be to you and to me tonight, look again. And he had to look again, didn't he? And you look how the Lord had mercy upon him. We all know the history of it and how the Lord appeared and caused the fish to vomit him out on dry land. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You know, many in this day in which we live think about all natural teaching. We know it's right in its place. And many, you dear children, young ones, will know how vital it is. But there is something far greater vital, and that is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things. Now, they're not my words. They're what the Holy Spirit has left on record. They're the words of Jesus himself. He shall teach you all things. He'll teach you how poor and helpless you are, and where to look for help, and where to look for guidance, and where to look for wisdom, and where to look for grace. Dying sinner, look and live. He shall teach you. And he'll teach you, poor soul, your great need of him. Think of that beautiful word the apostle was enabled to write. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He could write that from experience because he'd sweetly proved it in his soul, in his pathway, in every way. The wonderful supply. And wonder what is so wonderful about it is this. It comes to our naming. You see, that everlasting store of supply would never run dry. Oh, no. One of the old preachers used to say when I was a lad, he said, you know, there's a wonderful bank in heaven. He said, we hear of banks going bankrupt and companies going bankrupt. But he said, you know, there's a bank in heaven that'll never run dry. It'll never go bankrupt. And the sinner can draw from it all the way through their life. And draw from it in the vital hour of death. He shall teach you all things. And there are places you'll come into in your pathway. And you may wonder why you come into them. It may be a season of distress or a season of trial or seasons of affliction. Trials in providence. And you think, well, why have I come into it? I may have told you before, but you know, in my early days, I had a slight accident with my car. A man came out the side road into me, and it really troubled me. I said, Lord, why has this come? And it really burdened me. And I remember going into the bullock yard to straw the bullocks down, and you know, as I cut the strings on the bale, the Lord spoke to me, and I shall never forget it. He said, whispered this in my heart, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, I could see in it all. In a moment when the Lord spoke there, some very vital things. First of all, it was just so the Lord came and claimed me. My son. Oh, that really broke my heart, you know. Bowed me down in such grief that I had sinned against him. My son. I said, Lord, thou art a wretch like me being thy son. Thy, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. You know we do, don't we? We say, Lord, why has this come? Why has that come? Why have we got to walk this pathway? In it was divine teaching. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. I could... You see, the Lord whom he loveth, he correcteth. It's like a loving father and mother. The child might not like it, being corrected or being disciplined. When they do something, only may do some small thing wrong, but they're corrected for it. And why do the loving parent correct them? Because they love them. That's why. The Lord does his dear people. And he corrects them. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. And there was my poor heart soon beginning to faint. Neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. And I could see in it all love, you know. It's a wonderful thing. It's sweet to look back on, but, you know, you won't forget these things. He shall teach you all things. And then it comes to the holy word of God. You know, people say, oh, we should learn this and learn that from the word of God. It's right to many ways, but what we need is the Lord to so apply the word and write it in our hearts. He shall teach you. And in those pathways you come into, he teaches you that word. You have to learn it by experience. When I first went out to preach in 1966, the old Mr. Herbert Dawson, that's Mr. Joe Buss's grandfather, he said to me, "Now, Robert," he said, "just a little word of advice. When you preach, preach and back your ministry by God's holy word. And secondly, back it by experience, because," he said, "then you know you're on safe ground. You know what you preach is truth." He said, "because the Lord's taught you it. You haven't just dreamt it up or gone past what you know." He said, "if you go by that which you only know in your natural mind, you're on dangerous ground." He said, "you want to know it by experience." It was good advice, you know. He shall teach you all things. The Holy Ghost will. And he'll teach you there's a divine comforter. He'll teach you that there's a Saviour that understands all that you need. And he'll teach you the only place you can lean will be upon him. And the only place you can depend will be upon him. "Thy whole dependence on me fix," the Lord said. Well, much could be said, but I must hasten. He shall teach you all things. Those things that are vital, you see. Not what man thinks you should know. He shall teach you all things. All what is vital for your soul and for eternity. And bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, often when a person ventures to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances and they have helped, they give a testimony to the church, they're often tempted, they won't remember. You see, our memory's bad, the hymn writer said, and what is sad, the folly still retains. But you know, there is a blessed remembrance. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. And those that may be exercised tonight, you know, he can bring it to you, to your remembrance in a moment. Oh, he can. What he has said to you. You see, Jesus had spoken to these dear disciples many times in the pathway they'd had to walk. And there's no doubt they were like us, they could easily forget, but he brings it to their remembrance. How? Through the Holy Ghost. He's the blessed remembrancer. What did Moses say to the children of Israel about the 40 years in the wilderness? "Thou shalt remember all the way," not some of it, "all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And how could they remember? As the Holy Spirit brought it to their remembrance.
They could remember the trials. They could remember the difficulties. They could remember all the distresses and the opposition they'd had through the journey. But that wasn't all. They could remember those times where the Lord had spoken to them. All they could. It's a wonderful thing, have a few things to remember, you know. I remember some years ago, and I must leave it, but, you know, a dear old lady, she came before the church, and her mind, of course, being old, she couldn't remember things like she wished she could. Many of us do, but, you know, when she was asked to speak, she just opened her mouth. And all that came out, all what the Lord had brought to her remembrance of what he'd done over the years. And you know, that will melt a church's heart and those that hear it. When they can bring out those things which he has spoken, that they'll never forget. The promises. The blessings where the Lord has favoured the poor sinner with pardon and peace, his sweet presence. The promises which he's given. And he brings them to your remembrance. And what is so real about it is when the Lord grants it and brings it to your remembrance, he can bring it back to you, maybe spoken 30, 40 years ago, with the same sweetness and same reality and same preciousness that it was 40 years ago. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has brought it to your remembrance. And that's very sweet, you know. It'll melt the sinner's heart. Oh, it will. As he brings it back, what more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. When he speaks again, you see, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Dear old lady at Tunbridge Wells many years ago, I remember her telling me, she said, you know, she had a path of a ever so deep affliction to walk through in her early days. And she said, I felt the Lord was going to destroy me in it. It was so deep, the affliction. She said, and I had to beg of the Lord to have mercy and speak to me. And she said, he whispered these words right into my soul. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. She said, it was just as though he put his arms round me and held me tight and claimed me as his. And she never forgot it, you know. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Now these are what the Lord has said, not what I've said. Whatsoever I have said unto you. And what he has said, poor soul, will never return void. But it shall accomplish that which he pleased, and shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. That's the wonder of what he has said, you see. It'll be life and power to you. And you can live on it and die on it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Field will preach to us again on the Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1028. 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028.
Forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Be with us now and take us into thy kind care and keeping. Prepare us for thy holy day. And may thy grace of the dear Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.